Hi, Martin Zender.
How are you?
Fine, how are you, Martin Zender?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
It's good to be with you, Martin Zender.
Yeah, well, I like being with you too most of the time. Not all the time, but today is pretty good. We're here in our downtown studio, beautiful downtown Windber, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I'm enjoying the Pennsylvania life so far. It's pretty
are you
good.
Really so
yeah.
far?
Yeah. Yeah. Where wow. You and I are face-to-face in studio
oh, yeah.
at last.
You can't get that. You
last
can't
time
get
we did this
everywhere.
Was in Indianapolis. I think it was 100 degrees last time we were
degrees,
there.
Man. It was 100 degrees in the studio just because we heated it up, you know, but... Yeah, now it's cold and blustery outside, but it doesn't matter. I've been telling people on my show, you haven't heard me say this, but I'm not here on this planet to enjoy the weather.
Well, you've come to the right place.
I have come to the right place.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I was in Florida for a while. I just felt so guilty. Not,
yeah.
I had to come back.
Yeah,
but
right.
It was very nice. I want to talk about the pre-existence of Christ. Would you acquiesce to join me in this conversation? Because I'm sure you can add a lot to it.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. I want to point out a couple words here, different words in Philippians. Now, there are some people who don't believe that Jesus Christ existed before Bethlehem. And I say that we rob him of part of his emptying to say that.
Yeah, Philippians 2 would make no sense if
Philippians
that were true.
2, I don't think, would make any sense. And look at these two different words used about his humiliation. Let's go back to Philippians 2:5. For let this disposition be in you, which is in Christ Jesus also, who being inherently in the form of God, deems it not pillaging, robbery in the King James, to be equal with God, nevertheless empties himself, taking the form of a slave. Now, look at this. Coming to be in the likeness of humanity and being found in fashion as a human, he humbles himself. So it's a two-part emptying here from what I'm seeing. And the wording is different. He emptied himself when he took the form of a slave and came to be in likeness of humanity. And then when it talks about him becoming in fashion as a human, it says he humbles himself. I see two emptyings here. One, when he was at the right hand of God and he came down to become a cluster of cells reproducing on the walls of a teenage girl's uterus. Was that an emptying or what?
Exactly.
To be at the right hand of God, and I do believe it was a case of now you see him, now you don't.
Exactly.
To me, this was so profound of an emptying that it almost eclipses the emptying of the cross.
Exactly.
To be equal with God, and then you become so humble that you don't even realize you've been born. You don't even realize what's happened to you. You have no consciousness. He was a cluster of reproducing cells in Mary's body. I can hardly fathom that kind of transformation, consciously, willingly, knowing that your next conscious moment, there won't be a conscious moment, unless any of us here, including Duke, can remember when we were in utero. When were you born? Does anybody remember traveling out of the birth canal? Neither does he. Do you remember the day you were born? Neither does he. So he was unconscious of his own existence, even while he was alive, assuming life begins at conception. And so, wow, is that ever a lowering? And it's called emptying himself. And that was, to me, one of the I don't know, maybe you can, maybe the cross is worse. Maybe being in the form of a human, taking the lowest form of death, the worst execution possible in the Roman Empire in the first century. I don't know. You may think that's greater. But man, to be at the right hand of God and to become this little embryo,
yeah.
That's humiliation.
And again, that he existed before, that passage proves it. I'll give you another one. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that being rich, because of you he became poor, that you, by his poverty, should be rich. And here's the question I ask to those who don't believe that Christ existed before he went to the walls of the uterus of a teenage girl.
Mm-hmm.
When was he rich?
Oh, yeah. That's
when was he rich?
Yeah.
And here's another thing.
He was never rich when he was in the flesh, that's for sure.
And that's for sure, because in the account of Luke, when Mary brings the boy Jesus to the temple, what do they have to do?
They bring two turtle doves.
They bring two turtle doves. Why did they have to bring turtle doves?
Because they couldn't afford the lamb.
That was the provision for those who didn't have enough money to bring the lamb.
Yeah.
So they were a poor family. He was from Nazareth. Can any good thing come out of that place?
No,
what
it's
a dump.
Slum. It's a dump of the Galilee.
Yeah, he was like in Winbur, Pennsylvania. Excuse me.
Oh,
sorry about that.
Not that very nice. We love Winbur.
It was through his poverty that we are enriched. And that goes back to Philippians 2 again. Others. He did something. He did it himself. He emptied himself that we might become rich. He did it for others.
Yeah, and if that weren't enough, you know, lowering himself from the right hand of God to enter the body of Mary and not even be aware of his own birth, then he grows up, he's poor, his dad's a fine carpenter, I'm sure, and it wouldn't be so bad to have Joseph and Jesus hanging your door for you or putting the trim on your house or building you a nice dining room set, but these people weren't rich, as you said.
Right.
So, and then he grows up and then he goes to the cross. He dies the most humiliating death. So you see one lowering after another. It's just absolutely stunning. And especially when you consider, and I'm going to go back to John chapter 1, unless you got somewhere to go in Colossians.
No, go ahead.
I think I know where you're going. Maybe.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yes.
I'm trying to read your mind.
You got it.
I'm looking through you.
Look in my eyes.
I know.
Do you know where I'm going?
I think I do.
All right, good.
All right. In John chapter 1, we didn't even get to this part. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was toward God. God was the Word. This was in the beginning toward God. Here's the part. We never got to this. This is verse 3 of chapter 1. All came into being through it. That is the Word. All came into being through it, and apart from it, not even one thing came into being which has come into being.
Yep.
This is speaking of Jesus Christ. All came into being through Jesus Christ. Everything except God. How can that be if he didn't pre-exist? How can that be if his first appearance was in Bethlehem?
Yeah, of course, all came into being through it. Just when he became flesh, he took on the name Jesus. He changed his name.
Yeah.
But he existed before that. He had a new name. And in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh of John chapter 1. The Word became flesh.
Became flesh.
And tabernacles among us.
How does it become flesh if it wasn't flesh
if
at
it
one
didn't
time.
Exist right
so yeah it had to have been yeah not flesh it had to exist it had to have existed in a non-flesh state in order to become flesh. So John says nothing came into being apart from him, and Colossians verifies this when we read in verse 15, Colossians 1:15, speaking of him who is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of every creature. That backs up everything we read in John. He's the firstborn of every creature. For in him is all created, speaking of Christ, that in the heavens, that on the earth, visible, invisible, thrones, lordships, sovereignties, authorities, all is created through him and for him. He is before all is its cohesion in him. So that's a verification that Jesus Christ created everything except God.
And he had the first place because of, by virtue of his glory there, that in him was all created. So he has the position of the firstborn, which means he's responsible for it.
Yes.
He's responsible for it. The firstborn was responsible for the family and for the inheritance, you know, for the allotment. Christ is responsible for creation.
Right, because all creation came out of him. He's the daddy.
He's
the daddy of creation.
Exactly.
And he's going to take care of it.
That's right.
And we go to the context, you know, we always bring this
what
up to
that?
People. Colossians 1:20.
Just a side note.
Yes.
That means if all of creation isn't saved, he didn't fulfill his role as firstborn.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know how often we tell people about Colossians 1:20 that through the cross you're going to reconcile all to him? We use that. We make a big deal out of that word all. And people say, well, all doesn't mean all. And we say, well, sometimes it doesn't. You have to look at the context.
Right.
And the all of the context is all that has been created.
Right.
And that includes everything because Christ, again, everything came out of him. Apart from him, not one thing that exists does exist. And so he's going to reconcile that same all. That's the context. And I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 8:6 because it's another verification of the two verses we
love
talked about.
This is my doctrinal. If I had a Westminster Confession,
yes,
it would just have this verse in it.
Yeah,
that's it.
This is a good one. Nevertheless, well, let's start with verse 5. For even if so be that there are those being termed gods, whether in heaven or on earth, even as there are many gods and many lords, nevertheless, for us there is one God, the Father, out of whom all is, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all is. Through whom all is. That's exactly what we're saying, and that's that's being verified for us in John chapter 1 and in Colossians 1, 15. Everything came into being through him.
This verse is, you can't make this verse more plain than it is. The Apostle Paul is, he's talking about idols and idolatry. And so how does he cut through the maze of false idols? By teaching us the truth about God. There's one God, the Father, out of whom all is. He's the source of everything, including Christ.
Including Christ.
Including Christ. Christ said, I came out from God.
Mm-hmm.
He's greater than I. And then it says, and there's one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all is. There's one God. And we, people think that we're dishonoring the Son. But I don't know anyone who gives greater glory to the Son than we do, because we don't add to him. We don't take away from him. We recognize there's one God, the Father, and that all that he does is through his Son, through whom all is. All comes out from, came out from God. All leads back to God through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ.
Yep, and if you want the nuts and bolts of that, folks, you'd find it in Revelation 3:14, which calls Jesus Christ God's creative original. All these scriptures are sewn together. They all make sense. God created, the first thing God created, the creative original, the origin of the creation of God, as I think the King James might say it there, was Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ created everything else. John 1:3, Colossians 1:15, and 1 Corinthians 8:6, and Philippians 2. Everything came into being through him. And yet, even so, he empties himself not once but twice. He leaves his celestial home to take the fashion, to be fashioned as a human being just like us, suffered like us, worked like us, sweated like us, experienced death not in himself but in his loved ones just like us. And if that wasn't enough, he dies the most despicable death anybody could die, and that's the death of the cross. And because of this, God highly exalts him, and that's our goal. We're trying to highly exalt him the best we can, and if we fall short, and we do, and you'll admit it, we fall short, but we've fallen short in that we have still sold him short of his glory. Somehow, you know, he's even greater. His glories are greater than even we can imagine, and his glories have to do with honoring his God and Father. Can I count on you to be here tomorrow, Sheridan?
I think I'll stick around another couple days here in lovely Pennsylvania.
Why not? It's too much fun. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll be here tomorrow.